and anyone who could help as well. So that's 11 o'clock on Tuesday, and if you can't bring it Tuesday, talk to Karen and we'll work out another time. In Bible college, in the common lounge, so at EBC there's a dorm here and a dorm kind of over, guys and girls were connected by this common lounge, and on the wall they often put the theme verse, and I don't remember if it was my first year or my second year, but the verses from Galatians 5 were on the wall, and it said, keep in step. So they painted the whole wall white, and they had these black footprints up on the wall. And so keeping in step with the Spirit has been a theme that I've been familiar with for years. But I kind of feel like a bit like a toddler trying to describe physics to you when I talk about it, because I still feel like I continue to learn more and more, and God is doing some new things in my life. So I don't have it all figured out, but I can share with you what I learn and how I walk and what I find Scripture to say. And what I've been discovering through this Galatians series, and I've really been considering, you know, the law and being crucified with Christ and the fruit of the Spirit and walking in the Spirit in some new and fresh ways, is that a lot of what I think of what I've learned as a follower of Jesus throughout my life has been a little bit off. Gave an example last week of the fruit of the Spirit. Usually we learn about the fruit of the Spirit as separate fruits, and so here's a sermon on how to be more loving or kind or gentle or patient, and that's not what the fruit of the Spirit is about at all. Fruit is a singular. It's more like a bunch of grapes. Bunch of grapes, and it's something that God brings up out of us. They're not things that we try and do more, although there is teaching that Paul has on that, and Jesus speaks about, here's some things you can do to be more loving. The fruit of the Spirit are things we can't do on our own. So I have this realization that, you know, when I look back at my life, I'm really a nobody. You know, I was just a little kid with thick glasses who bounced off the wall and caused problems. As a teen, I was just this long-haired kid who lived in both worlds, one at school and acted a certain way, and then came to church and acted another. In Bible college, you know, I was just this cocky guy who was, you know, pessimistic and cynical and too overconfident for my own good. And yet through all those seasons of life, God still chooses to bear fruit through me. And he chooses to bear fruit through you as well. And God is pleased to work through me, to have more of him and less of me, no matter who I am. And so if these are things, the fruit of the Spirit are things that God bears, if it's God's fruit, if it's through the power and empowering of the Spirit, then we really have to ask ourselves, what's our part then? So if it's not this morning about learning to be more loving, and it's all about God, is there any part that we play? How does it grow? How does it grow? How does the fruit of the Spirit grow? A better way to phrase that question is, what's my part in the growth of the fruit of the Spirit? And so I want us to focus in on this phrase. Okay, so let's just read this together, okay? God grows the fruit of the Spirit in season on healthy branches. Let's do it one more time. God grows the fruit of the Spirit in season on healthy branches. And that's really the bent that I want to look at the fruit of the Spirit from this morning. Let's pray. Father, we really need your wisdom. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us and help us understand these are things that are seem to be beyond our comprehension in some ways and so simple in others that we often miss it. So Father, teach us to bear fruit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I'll do my best this morning to try and, I'm actually really excited about this, but I had a tooth out on Thursday, and if I talk too wide or loud, or you guys all just be grossed out. So I want to keep her together and not have blood on stage. Isn't that great that I said that? Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23. If you have them, have your Bibles, turn there in whatever version you have. We're looking at the English Standard Version. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, because the law restrains us from evil and teaches us sin. And we don't need a law against those things. We need them to flourish in abundance. And the law doesn't bring life. All the rules of the Old Testament don't bring life. The Spirit does. So there's no law against these things. This is the result of following Jesus. This is what a follower of Jesus should look like. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. So that's sinful behavior and legalistic religion. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. So the question is, how does it grow? How does this fruit grow? Well, for sure we know that it grows for those who crucify the flesh. So those old patterns of behavior. When you become a Christian, you don't have this old nature and a new one, and now there's this battle in there. Sometimes it feels like that, but that's not what actually takes place. We get a full new identity in Christ. The old is gone. The new has come, but there's these old patterns of behavior, this flesh and the power of the sin that still hangs around and tempts us to act like we once were. So we crucify the flesh, its passions, its desires, put it on the cross where our old nature was. It also grows as we learn to walk and live from the right identity, our identity in Christ. So we are fully transformed, but we're not yet used to behaving, thinking, acting that way. So these are not separate fruits, but it's the fruit of the Spirit. They all grow up together, and it's through the power of the Holy Spirit, because God wants to bear those things in our lives. It grows as we receive nourishment from the life of Christ. It grows as we receive nourishment from the life of Christ. That's where we find our life. And it grows in season. How many of you like gardening? How many of you are gardeners? Stephanie, do I like gardening? No. Yesterday we tried to do some gardening. I was sick of it right away and was finding excuses. I don't mind, going at it for a whole day and ripping everything out and planting, and that's it. Like, I got one or two days per season in me. That's it. I do not like gardening. So to learn about this, I really had to watch a lot of things and learn some new things, because it's not my deal. But one thing I do know, even without, much growing knowledge, is that fruit grows in season. There's several seasons. And I married into a farming family. I've worked on a pig farm. I've helped with, every summer I help with hay and straw. And I know more about the harvest now and things like that. Steph's dad was a dairy farmer. And so I know a little about these things. So here's some of the growing seasons. There's winter. And in winter, after the harvest, depending on what you're growing, there's pruning. So you got to prune things back. And there's dormancy. Dormancy sets in to protect the tree, the fruit, the plant. There's spring, when planting happens, when growth happens. And there's summer/fall, which is when fruit is produced. And there's a harvest. Could it be the same way with the fruit of the Spirit? Could it be that with the fruit of the Spirit, there are seasons in our life? Because I'll tell you what, when I learn about the fruit of the Spirit, usually I just read that list, or I hear a sermon, or I hear teaching, and I end up feeling guilty because I don't look like that all the time. And I walk away thinking, what can I do to be more loving? Well, the reality is, I can't do anything. It's the Holy Spirit in me. But what if God takes us through different seasons of our life in order that we can bear fruit? And that if in every different season, He simply calls us to keep in step. That He takes us through these seasons for a purpose and a reason. It would be foolish to expect that a grapevine has grapes all year round, right? The farmer goes out in the dead of winter and, curses God because there's no fruit there. We'd think he's foolish. It'd also be foolish if you planted, a grapevine in your backyard and you watered it, planted it exactly right, built whatever structure you need to grow that for the land that you have, and you see it continue to grow. And so you prune it back and give it good fertilizer, and you watch it grow and grow and grow and grow and grow, and you do everything right. The pruning and all the fertilizing, you get it the right sun, the rain, irrigation, the whole deal, and it never bears fruit for years. It's foolishness. You'd rip it up. No good to you. If that's the way that harvesting and planting actually happens, that vines should produce fruit, and that they don't produce fruit all year round, maybe there's something to that. Does Jesus talk about planting and fruit? Absolutely he does. When he's done with his disciples in the Last Supper, the night that he's betrayed, they leave the upper room where he's washed their feet and eaten with them and established the Lord's Supper, a new meaning for the Passover meal. And on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane, he teaches them some very specific teaching in John 15 and 16. And one of the things he talks about in John 15 is the vine and the branches. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn to John chapter 15. We want to look at what Jesus says about fruit. John chapter 15. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. He prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they'll produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. So Jesus is saying, look, you disciples, you've been pruned, you've been disciplined, you've been prepared because I've done that in your life. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you can't be fruitful unless you remain in me. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. True or real disciples are connected to Jesus. They remain in him, he remains in them, and fruit will come. That's the sign of a true disciple, that they're bearing fruit. You can judge a tree by its fruit. You can't be judgmental about a tree by its fruit, but you can get a good sense of what someone's belief is by their attitudes and their behaviors. You must be connected to the vine to bear fruit, first and foremost. You have to be a follower of Jesus and depending on the Spirit of Jesus in your journey to have life of Christ in order that fruit will come from you, in order that there will be spiritual fruit. If you've never believed in Jesus, if you've never decided to follow him, just mimicking the behaviors or good things aren't enough. First of all, for salvation to be made right with God. Secondly, to see God do great things through your life. You need to be connected to him. You need to believe in him, receive forgiveness for your sins from him, and follow him. Jesus said that there will be many on the day of judgment who say, you know what, Lord, I did all these things. Look at all my fruit. And they'll say, you have to depart from me because I never knew you. If I take plastic grapes or dead grapes and tie them to a vine, maybe from a distance you'd be fooled, but you wouldn't get much wine from them, would you? In the same way, if you walk through a vineyard and there's branches that are withering and dead, whether they have clusters of fruit on them or not, by the wayside, that fruit is not going to be good. It's not the fruit that the vine produces. It's dead. It's withering. You got to be connected to the vine. And there's really two things we can learn from that. First of all, you need to be a follower of Jesus to see him heal you, save you, give you life, and bear fruit through you. Secondly, those who are followers of Jesus, you got to be connected. You got to be getting your life from Jesus in order that he would do those things in and through you that you want anyway. You want those things. So we work hard at producing fruit. How many of you have ever heard a grape straining? You walk through the vineyard and you hear, really working hard to grow. They don't work hard. They don't harvest themselves. They just grow. They just grow. It seems really silly to talk about. But then when we talk about our spiritual walk, some of us are going, that's a terrible noise. I really am trying hard to bear fruit. What's your responsibility? What's our part in growing fruit? Well, God bears fruit in season. Our responsibility is to keep in step during those seasons and be connected to the vine. So I want to just look at the seasons that Jesus talks about in this passage, and I'm just going to lump them down for simplification into three things. Three seasons: pruning, planting, and producing. Okay, pruning, planting, and producing. I already talked about winter and spring and summer and fall, and so we're just going to look at those. What does Jesus say about that? One author I read in speaking about pruning here, when Jesus speaks about pruning, says, Pruning is not drudgery, but it's an opportunity to become more than we could ever be on our own. I was challenged this week by a message by James McDonald on Faith FM in the morning. And he was talking about the North American church and Christian growth and how most of us are taught you come to Jesus and then this slow, long process to become like Christ. And it's this long thing and we'll never quite arrive, and then when we die, we're perfected. There's some kind of truth in that. But what he was saying, I was really challenged by, and I agree with. He said, you know, if you zoom out from most of our lives, yeah, it's this long process of growth. But the reality of our growth is most of it happens intense and rapidly in seasons. And most of our growth happens in crisis. Look at your life. When have you grown the most? It's usually through crisis. He quoted a major North American denomination who on its own website says something along the lines of that it is currently in decline. And the reason it's in decline is because as a denomination and as a society, we lack prayer, renewal, repentance, revival that often came from their regular tent meetings, prayer meetings, camp meetings, revival meetings. It's interesting. Now, these meetings were planned seasonal. About every couple of years, a traveling preacher would go around and you'd set up a tent or you'd have camp. And you just knew as a people that you were going to enter into this time where God would put his finger on parts of your life. And you couldn't hide or run away from those things. There was some season. During the great awakenings of North America, some revival, widespread revivals, crime rates dropped. Families and lives got healed. People got right with God. Education was reformed. Major change came. You could say that the fruit or the results of these revival times were very much of the Holy Spirit, and they had far-reaching results. You saw the fruit of the Spirit practically in society. So, was it the meetings? Is it revival meetings, tent meetings, prayer meetings? Is it those meetings that brought the change? No, I don't think so. I think it was the pruning. And when you look back on history, what do those meetings, those times come out of? They always come out of crisis. They always came out of time where there was war, heightened crime, disease, widespread trouble in society. They also came out of a time where the church got comfortable. The church got comfortable and they sat back and they kind of watched things happen and they're all tied up in themselves. But then society got so bad. War came, disease came, crisis came, crime rose. And suddenly, comfortable Christians in their little churches had problems on their doorsteps that they couldn't handle or manage on their own. Up until that time, they could have. Yeah, you can kind of handle. Out of that crisis, where did people go? They went to their knees. The church was driven to its knees. And they called meetings together where they have a preacher or someone come up and go, have you looked around at how you're living and the world is living? We need Jesus. And so these revival meetings, these desperate prayer meetings, these times seasonally where people get on their knees and desperately chase after God, came because God allowed for crisis. Did God cause the crime, the war, all these things? Who knows? Let's have a bigger theology than God only allows or God only causes. I don't think we'll ever know. The reality is God uses those times, and he does the same thing in our lives. Times of pruning in our lives are not, okay, listen, are not when we're dwelling and living in sin and we get caught. And suddenly we're in this dark place and we're like, oh God, this is terrible. That's, you brought that on yourself. Now that's a time of restoration, and sometimes pruning and discipline and crisis come out of that so that you hit your knees and are desperate for God again. God blesses us with pruning, and he used crisis to take away the comfort, take away the dependence on self, and replant dependence from his people back on himself. God prunes us because, why? Because he loves us. And when I look back on my life, the times of pruning and discipline, it's those times of crisis when I needed him most, where I turned to him and got me back on track. And I rapidly grew in certain areas and my roots went down really deep and I have to look back and say, and I'm thankful. God prunes away my comfort and awakens my desire to be connected to the vine. So because I'm not a gardener, I looked up, you know, how does pruning take place? Have a look at this.
Because this is a newly planted tree, and I want to really control the structure and the growth, I'm going to cut the trunk off, and I'm going to cut it off anywhere between my knees and my waist. I just want to make sure that we have at least 3 to 5 good, strong lateral branches coming out below the cut. So I know it seems scary, but you just have to go for it. So now we can select which branches to keep and which branches to cut. And the important thing to consider is the angle of the branch off the tree. You want to keep branches that are about 45 degrees from the trunk. And you don't want to keep branches that are less than 45 degrees or maybe even a little bit more than 45 degrees. Well, I've made a decision on what branches I want to keep and what branches I want to cut based on having a nice balance on the tree. I'm going to put a ribbon around the branches I'm going to keep and I'm going to cut the rest. I've labeled the branches that I'm going to keep, and I'm going to cut the branches that I don't want to keep. And my newly pruned peach tree.
Okay, so I'm no gardener, right? Did that freak you out? That tree looked really healthy to me. Could it be that God cuts us in half? Cuts off things we think are good. Seems to put us through this time where we're like, God, where are you? What are you doing? Because he knows how to prune. Because he's a master gardener. Because he loves us dearly. No discipline, Hebrews says. No discipline or pruning seems pleasant at the time, but it leads to a harvest of righteousness, Hebrews 12. God has not left you alone in crisis. When he humbles you in difficulty, in discipline, he's preparing you to bear spiritual fruit, even if you don't recognize it right now. That crunch of that trunk, that sent shivers up my spine when I saw that first. There's no way I would do that. There's no way I'd want to do that with my kids. But God knows us, and he knows the parts he needs to take away in order that there's greater fruit coming. The question for you is, will you submit to his pruning? When I look back at my life in some of the most difficult times, I was most close to God. Do you know what happens in winter? When you prune, the tree, the vine, goes into dormancy. Those who are under discipline or under pruning, who are going through major crisis and have to step back from ministries, have to step back from doing all that they have to do, have to step back and have this time. Sometimes we go, oh, poor. They used to do so much at the church and in their community. Oh, poor. That's not the way God views it at all. If that's you, if you've had to step back and you're less and you're in this time of dormancy, you're going, God, you used to use me because of these things, or it's beyond myself. Just I can't even barely take care of my family. I can't serve here or do this. I can barely pick up my Bible, anything. I'm just crying out to you, and I feel less than half of who I was. You're exactly where God wants you. And the question is, will you submit to it and say thank you? Consider it joy. When God allows trials to come in your life, not because the trials are good, they're terrible. God mourns with you and walks through you, but because there's a harvest of righteousness yet to come. We underestimate the paradox of the way God grows us. Not slow and steady over time if we're doing our devotions perfectly and if we're good people and all this. No. He grows us through crisis, and he shuts us down sometimes and strips us down to where all we have to cling to is him. Will you submit or will you turn away, shake your fist at God and say, why don't you love me? Why do you hate me? Why have you put me through this? Why can't I have what I once have? Why can't I have what I want to have? Why can't I be so-and-so person, such and such a whatever? We submit to it because God does it when he needs to, and he does it because he loves us. God grows us most when he cuts us back, when we have little choice but to depend on him. The other season is planting, and we can imagine planting as regular life. Things seem to be going okay. We're living in comfort. We've got some little crisis. Everybody's got problems. Everybody's got stuff going on, but it's pretty normal. I'm not going to say too much about this season, but it's going to be the harshest this morning, and it's the harshest for me. When I go to funerals of great men or women of faith, mentors, people I look up to, I have to ask myself two questions. One, who's going to fill their shoes? Two, why not me? Who's going to fill their shoes? Why not me? I have every opportunity to grow as they did. No, I'm not called to the life they were, the ministries, the family, the uniqueness that was them. I have the same amount of time. I have software and time and money and comfort and books and podcasts and small groups and a wonderful church and service opportunities and disciples and mentors and you name it. I got it all. I got it all. But am I spending time on that? Am I intentionally driving myself as a branch deep into the vine, staying connected and drinking the life that's available to me in that season of growth? When the sun is shining, I'm getting the right rain, everything's going well? No. Usually, what do? We relax, and it's comfortable, and I'm too tired for this, and I don't really want to do that. And you know what God says? I love you, and I'm okay with that. And he gives us choice. And we can be an inch deep and a mile wide spiritually for as long as we want until God says, all right, I got some growing. I'm going to prune you back. What you do in these times of growth and planting will determine how you respond in times of pruning, whether you shake your fist at God and become distant, and God's not fulfilling all that I want, and he's not exactly the way I thought he was, and what about this doctrine or this thing I don't understand, and I'm done with it. Or realizing that he's sweet and close, and he loves you. You have the same opportunity I have. You have the same opportunity as your neighbor has. You've got a Bible, and you've got time, and you've got a church, and you've got people who can mentor you. You've got people you can serve with. You have a lot of choice, and God lets you choose. And your choices in these times of plenty, in these times of planting, in these times of comfort, in these times of growth, make the difference between you growing and you not. Now, it's still the Holy Spirit. Don't read legalism into this. It's not, if I do all this stuff, then God will grow me. No. He asks us to take the first step. What's the first step in the morning? Decide to pray. Holy Spirit speaks to you, prompts you, does all that stuff. Open your Bible. That's it. It's first steps. Our responsibility is the first step to volunteer for something, to meet with a group, to go to church, to get connected, to say, God, there's some things in my life I know aren't right. I'm going to submit to you and do what you say. I'm going to obey however you lead. That is keeping in step with the Spirit. We're listening, we're discerning, we're following, we're obeying. Sometimes we're failing, sometimes we're not. But we're actively what? Trying to bear fruit, right? No, we're not actively trying to bear fruit. We're actively being connected to the vine. Connected to the vine, because you have every opportunity I have. I have every opportunity, every book, movie, story I read about someone who has followed Jesus in amazing ways. They began with simple little ways of receiving nourishment and life every day and keeping in step with the Spirit. Are you choosing to depend on Jesus or yourself? Are you depending on Jesus or religion? Are you depending on Jesus or your good behavior? Are you depending on Jesus or your personality? Are you depending on Jesus or fill in the blank? You have opportunity in your comfort. We're comfortable, aren't we? We're comfortable. We are. Use that seasonal gift and see what God does in you so that when he prunes you, you'll consider it joy. Because it's in pruning that we grow the most, ironically. Producing. Final one. This is what the fruit of the Spirit is all about. We need seasons of pruning and seasons of planting so that there can be what? Seasons of producing. Producing. God grows the fruit of the Spirit in season on healthy branches. God grows the fruit of the Spirit in season on healthy branches. If you're not connected, you're not going to grow fruit, or he's not going to grow it through you. If you're not healthy, your fruit will be withered. Branches connected to the vine are what? Healthy. They can't help but be healthy. You take the minor steps to be connected to Jesus regularly, guess what he's going to do? Through his Holy Spirit that's in you already, if you've chosen to follow Jesus, he's going to grow you, and he's going to mature you, and he's going to heal you, and he's going to change you, and he's going to help you get your behavior and your attitudes back in line with how you already are. The whole of Christian life is a paradox, and most of what we've learned about living the Christian life is well-intentioned, but it's dependent on me. And I want to tell you, bearing fruit, producing fruit, there are seasons of production. There are seasons of planting, and there are seasons of pruning, but it's not dependent on me. My part is only to be connected to the vine. My part is only to be connected to the vine. And to the degree I'm connected to the vine, that's how healthy I am. And how healthy I am will determine the kind of fruit that God is able to bring up through me. It's a paradox. It's not that the less you work, the more fruit grows. It's not some mystical, weird thing like that. It's very practical, and it makes a lot of sense. But we don't work hard to produce fruit. We depend on Jesus and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Always, that's how you keep in step, no matter what the season. So what season are you in? What season are you in? Are you embracing that season? Are you listening to what God is doing in you? Are you looking down on the fact that you used to, and now you're kind of going through a tough time? Don't. God has you where he wants you. Are you sitting in comfort and looking down on others because you don't have that or that problem? Don't, because it's coming. What season are you in? There's a story of an acorn. And a certain gentleman passed away, and he was buried inside a slab of marble well under the ground. And somehow an acorn fell into that sealed marble slab. Now, if I, the expert gardener, had to guess, that acorn's doomed. Lack of light and water and all that stuff. But it took root somehow. And as it grew and grew and grew, was it stifled by the marble? No. Cracked it in half, and a tree grew up in its place. God grows fruit in your life where you can't expect it. Do you know why? Because God grows fruit. God grows the fruit of the Spirit in your life in the most unexpected ways. He'll do it regardless of your ability, regardless of your talent. This isn't about spiritual gifts. Fruit of the Spirit is something every believer can have. It's not that, you know, we name it or claim it or appropriate it, or if we just pray a little harder. It's about being connected to the vine. Stephanie and I are heading away next weekend to a conference out west on prayer and getting right with God and how to hear God. And so I ask you to pray for us in that. We're supposed to have some prayer partners. And that's part of our journey and our season and what God's doing in our life. So I'm trying to actively recognize the season that God is taking me through. He's challenging me in a lot of things. I'm growing in a lot of ways. I'm learning a lot of things. And I'm trying my best to obey, and I get it wrong lots. What season are you in? Because God will grow fruit in his season in ways and places that you can never expect. If you've never chosen to follow Jesus, If you don't think God could do anything good through you, you're wrong. Because God created you and he's got a plan for you, including bearing fruit. And I encourage you to check it out. Discover if Jesus is who he said he was. And if he is, then the Bible is true. And you can place your faith and belief in him, be changed, made new, and see things happen in your life that we can't explain. Stuff happens in my life that I can't explain other than the Holy Spirit and God working in and through me. If you are a follower of Jesus, are you depending on Jesus? Are you laying your roots of your branches deep within that vine? Are you soaking up that nourishment, that life of Christ? Will you submit in whatever season that God has you in? Or will you resist because it's not your way, or you don't understand, or God's not quite doing the things you want? Will you choose to cling to the vine for life? Or settle for something fake and false? Listen, if this describes you, you know, inch deep, mile wide kind of Christianity, you're just nominally, you're just coasting, you're just kind of there, you're just sort of attending church, I don't want you to walk away feeling guilty. Well, that pastor really hammered me, he doesn't like me. Not at all. I want to call you to something better because you've likely tasted Christ a little bit and you're hungry for it. It's just probably all of your religious activities and doing all these things haven't satisfied. You know why? Because they're not meant to. Religious activity isn't meant to satisfy. Jesus satisfies. And he'll bear fruit through you. He will. It's just the way it works. So will you choose to cling to the vine? Will you choose to be a healthy branch? If you're in a season of comfort, what on earth are you doing right now to be connected with Jesus? I don't want to give you a 12-step program or a plan. The Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart right now and telling you, here's your next step. That's how you keep in step. Here's your next step. And later in the day, you get another step and another step and another step. Sometimes it's moment by moment. Sometimes it's in bigger chunks of time. Sometimes you don't even know. And God says, choose. Choose. Here's some choices. I want to watch you choose how to follow me. But you keep in step. That's how you be a healthy branch. Because when you choose to be a healthy branch, you'll start to notice that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control just start to happen. Just start to happen together, on their own, apart from what you can do. And guess what? It'll change your life. It'll change the world around you. But it's your choice. Will you depend on the vine and be healthy? Or will you continue to be withered and weak and wonder why God doesn't love you and have this lack of fruit? Our place in the fruit of the Spirit is only to depend on the vine. That's it. And you keep in step with the Spirit by following exactly what he has for you in this season. And I believe we can and that we want to make that choice. So just as we close this morning, let's stand. And just invite you to close your eyes. Let's have everybody close their eyes just in a quiet moment.